Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Richard Shawright.
So let's get this straight and let's have a look at the results this afternoon, because this is the way things stand. In fairness, the Super League results don't really matter. Wakefield 20, Castleford 46, Widnes 32, Catalans 4. That means Castleford finished 6th, Wakefield 8th, Widnes in between them in 7th, going in to the Super 8s. But the big news comes out of the Championship. Congratulations to the Batley Bulldogs. They go to Swinton. Knowing they just need a point to win, they smash them. 62 points to 24. But the bigger headlines come at the Big Fellas Stadium. Featherstone Rovers versus Bradford Bulls. A winner-take-all encounter. Featherstone Rovers win 20 points to nil. It was 18-0 at half-time. A further penalty in the second half. Nothing on the board for the Bradford Bulls. Featherstone Rovers, congratulations to them and Batley. They will be playing in the qualifiers. Perhaps they have no chance of promotion, but I'm sure they won't be that bothered. The great news for Featherstone, of course, is that they will welcome the Leeds Rhinos to Post Office Road. Batley will get to play at Headingley, amongst other places in those fixtures. We'll have the full fixtures out, of course, on Wednesday morning. What an afternoon. React now at RL on our white. Unless you listen to the podcast, when, of course, you can't react because we're not live. Let's head back to Bellevue. Gary Schofield is there. We usually start with the game you've seen, Gary, but we need to talk about the Championship, because we've been talking about Batley all season, and they've done it. They went to Swinton, they had to win, they won. And I guess it shows something about the team, does it? Because they knew all they had to do was win at a team who have been below them in the table all season, who beat them early in the year. But they got the job done. Professionally for a semi-pro side.
They did indeed, and it's great, isn't it? And say well done to the chairman and chief executive in Kevin McNicholas, and Paul Harrison, coach John Kay, all the players, all the supporters. And at the end of the day, they had to go there, yeah. And they had to do a professional job. We know they're semi-professional, but they had to go there and do a professional job, and their attitude would have been quite simple. This is what our season's all about. They've been consistent all year after that first game of the season against Lee. Great result from there, and they've just maintained it. And today, it was all down to the 80 minutes. And I say, well, the scoreline reflects, which isn't quite simple. They went there with the right attitude, went there with the right purpose, and they thought, well, we're going to make sure that all the hard work we have done this season, we are not going to blow it in this 80 minutes. And quite simply, they didn't do that. And well done. Well done to Batley Bulldogs.
And I don't want it to come across as condescending, which you could do, but a trip to Headingley, it's not a bad reward for you, and obviously they'll have some Super League teams coming to Mount Pleasant, and they won't, the Super League sides, we know they don't like going to places like Cat and Wakefield with their change rooms. They won't enjoy going to Batley either, will they?
Absolutely, Richard. Do you know what? Now, all it is for Batley is quite simple. It's quite simple. We'll enjoy all these fixtures, whether it's home or away. All they can do now, enjoy these fixtures, enjoy the experience, and the chairman will just be quite simply saying to the bank manager, here you go, there's a few extra quid coming your way. It's quite simple as that.
I think John Kim obviously leaving at the end of the season to take up a role at Bellevue, but it's leaving quite a legacy for Matt Diskin to take over from, isn't it?
Rich, you know what, I was just going to say that, you know, John Kim, you know, he's coming here to Wakefield, done a great job, and he's saying he's leaving Batley in a great position. I tell you what, there's no pressure on Matt Diskin, is there? Oh boy, has Matt Diskin got some shoes to fill. But one thing for sure, he's got a great squad to work with, and I'm sure he'll be asking, John Keir quite clearly, you know, what makes the players tick, what makes them keeping consistent, and it's quite simple. You know, take that experience on there and don't spoil what's already there. It's like, an old saying, an old cliche, if the bicycle chain isn't broken, well, why do you need to fix it? Simple as that.
Superb result for Batley, and a superb result as well for Featherstone Rovers. They were the underdogs going into this game this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. And
to win 20-0 to nil Bradford, and... You know, let's talk about Featherstone first and the positives for them. They get to welcome Leeds to the Big Fellas Stadium, which is going to be a hell of an atmosphere. I mean, you'll have had some great battles down there over the years, of course.
Oh, I have indeed. And, to be honest with you, Rich, the Featherstone fans, even now, still don't forgive me when I scored the interception try at Elland Road in the semi-final of the Challenge Cup in 95. But no, again, you know, I'm absolutely delighted for Chairman Mark Campbell and all his directors, the Featherstone supporters and the coach, John Sharp, because Sharp is under pressure. You know, Mark has put a lot of money and time into Featherstone, and I say great result for them. And again, it's all about now. It's all about the enjoyment. Enjoy the experience. and enjoy the atmosphere, what's going to be created down at Post Office Road with these big sides coming. And yeah, delighted for everybody at Featherstone.
And you look at that result this afternoon, 20-0, 18-0 up at half time. That again stands out, again against the professional side in Bradford. They've taken them to cleanest, and Featherstone know what it's all about, because they missed out on the top four last year. They played in the Championship Shield, won that competition, the competition no one wants to be in, and now they've gone one better this year. And as you say, we've got to give all the credit to them for the hard work over the season.
Oh, without a doubt.
Especially because we saw them at the Summer Bash, and they were dreadful against Halifax.
We saw that. The Halifax absolutely took them to the cleaners. And that may be just have been the wake-up call that was required. But one thing for sure here, you know, and I say, John Sharp's got the better of his players. Again, it's all his consistency performance. Well done to Featherstone. But I'll tell you what now for the Bradford Bulls? Quite simply, you know, I've watched them now five or six times at home, myself and Mark Wilson, and quite simply, they're just not good enough. They are absolutely not good enough. And from a financial point of view, this is an absolute disaster for the Bulls.
Well, I'm looking across the road. As you know, our studios overlook Elland Road, the home of Leeds United, and we know what happened to them. We know their story, having been relegated from the Premier League and went down to the third tier, and obviously still are yet to go back into the top division. And for Bradford, I guess the situation's even worse, because there'll always be someone who'll want to invest in Leeds United and make them a Premier League team again and get all the glory and whatever, the ego from that. But for Bradford, what happens now? Because
Well, you know what? The situation is here. The fix is now what Bradford have got, and the crowds themselves haven't been very, very positive, would you? You would say this year, and some of the competitive teams have been. The big question, the big scenario for Bradford, well, who's going to go watch Bradford? How many supporters are going to turn up? You know, because, you know, they should blow that away, and what do they call it, a competitive shield or whatever they're going to be playing for?
Championship shield.
Yeah, the championship, which means absolutely nothing.
Well,
so
if I can jump in here, Rich.
Mark's here as well. But also, but just to finish off there, Matt, who is going to watch, realistically, I would say, is...
The problem Bradford have got now, and my sources suggest that there's going to be a big announcement made within 24 hours as to the future of the Bradford Bulls. I think we can all guess what that might be.
What's the chairman leaving?
I have got one thing I want to say, and publicly on air, is Mark Green will get a lot of the stick for what has happened. He has paid for 40-odd players to be in that Bradford Bulls squad. Now, he's put his faith in people to spend that money, and those people are the people that should be held accountable for what is happening at the Bradford Bulls right now, because they have got, we go to the training ground every week, 40 odd players, I don't even know who 20 of them are, I don't even know who they are, I've never seen them pull that shirt on, I've never seen them play, half of them are playing at Keighley or in League 1 or wherever it is they're playing out on loan, Jewel Reg, whatever it is. The people that have spent the money, not the bloke that's put it in, the people that have spent the money are the people that should be held accountable for what has happened at the Bradford Bulls. They haven't been good enough. It's taken them, since they got relegated from Super League, it has taken them 22 months to get a scrum half in. They've got one in, too late, and the damage has been done.
So who are we saying to blame here then? Is it Steve Ferris, Robbie Paul or who? Well, who's to blame? If it's not the chairman,
Ferris,
who is it?
In my opinion, and so it's only my opinion.
So he's the guy who does all the recruitment, so he's to blame.
That is as I understand.
Well, one thing for sure then, if he's to blame for this, you would say absolute shambles at Bradford Bulls, Mark Wilson, it's quite simple. Steve Ferris has to be sacked. Simple as that, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make. But, sadly, it'll be people that make the tea, it'll be people that do the media stuff. They'll be the first to go. We all know how this works, we all know the outcome here. You know, it is not good enough. Bradford Bulls, a big name, has been mistreated for too long now. And I feel actually, you know what, I feel sorry for Mark Green. He got the club by default, he got the club because no one else wanted it, no one else wanted to take it on. He's done his best with it, but sadly for him, he's appointed the wrong man to help him out, and we've seen the repercussions of that, and there'll be more repercussions to follow. I must say, credit to Featherstone Rovers. What a turnaround for them.
Well, this is the thing here, Mark, isn't it? How can, as a full-time professional club, finish behind Batley and Featherstone in terms of recruitment, in terms of anything? You know, Batley's budget, we know, I think John Keir said at the start of the season, I've seen a tweet from Gareth Walker, who obviously covers the championship for the league, especially $180,000 their budget.
Yeah.
You know, and Bradford obviously have a bigger catchment area, they have bigger everything. And yet, Batley Bull, and again, I'm not knocking Batley here at all. How can a club the size of Batley with the resources of Batley finish above the Bradford Bulls? That's the question that everyone should be asking.
In my opinion, we cannot take a second credit away from Batley Bulldogs. Because what they have achieved is probably one of the greatest sporting achievements.
If Leeds hadn't finished where they had, that would be the story of the year. And I think it still is the story.
I think it is. If you're looking for good news, Rich, I think it is. You can't deny that. They've been absolutely phenomenal. I had that horrible feeling this morning. You get up and you wonder, they're so close, they can touch it, they can taste it, are they going to trip at the last hurdle? But they didn't, they got the job done, and you can imagine there's going to be one heck of a party in the next week or so. I noticed one of their number is off to Ibiza next weekend, so I wonder if they're having a bit of a trip away, the boys. But I'll tell you what, Scully, they've earned it, haven't they?
Oh, have they ever? Have they ever? So too are Feversen as well, and they say all credit, we can't say highly enough, and I say they've got a week off now. We know the Challenge Cup semi-finals coming this week, and they've got a week off. And I tell you what, lads, if I was in charge, I'd be saying, listen, get yourself on the drink for 5 days. I'll see you next Monday. Simple as that. See you later.
Well, the old Batley Frontier's closing next week. They might as well spend all week in it. Please drink responsibly.
It's great. It's great news, and it's great for rugby league. You know, we all know what unfortunately, it seems to be the demise of York, and the game needed a big shot in the arm, certainly from teams who are looking to better themselves, looking to put themselves back on the rugby league map, and certainly Batley and Feversen have done that this weekend.
I guess the question is now, where do Bradford go?
Where do they go?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? What I have been told from a source within the environment at Bradford is that I am led to believe Mark Green won't be there much longer, which means then someone's got to cough up the money to keep that club going, and who's that going to be?
And the sad thing for Mark Green and anyone else who goes in there is we know what happened last time, and people were, you know, Stuart Fielder was in the studio on Monday and said it, weren't they? Duped out of money.
Yeah, they were, but I don't think you can dwell on that, Rich. I think that, you know, I could argue, I'm sort of Wakefield, I could say plenty about that, you know, that I think that is, it is what it is, it's gone. You know, but there's got to be someone that comes in who's got the money to take it forward. I'm sorry to be doom and gloom here, but we all know where this is going. There's no point. We say it as it is on this station. The Bulls are in big trouble now. They've got a squad of 40-odd players, like Scully said. And this is the problem that I've had with how the Bulls. Is it the most expensive place to watch? I think it's the most expensive rugby to watch in the Championship. They've milked the same fans time and time and time again, and they are not going to be paying, without disrespect to the teams involved in that Championship Shield, they ain't going to go and watch. Your hardcore fans, that means the club is losing more money, and that means that the deficit in budget gets bigger. The deadline's gone. It's not like they can offload the players
absolutely,
now.
Absolutely. But one thing, as I say, in that competition, as we say, the quality of the league, what you're going to be going there, they'll be looking to get 2,500, won't they? They can't survive on that.
This is my point. You're asking people to play top whack, and that puts people off buying a season ticket. Therefore, they pick and choose when they go, and when they're playing teams like they're going to be playing in the next few weeks, the fans ain't going to go. It's as simple as that. And once again, it's the fans, it's the backroom staff that are going to be left to pick up the pieces at Bradford, and it's due to mismanagement. And I'll say what I said right at the start. Mark Green has put the money in. Someone has paid for all those players. He deserved better. People might not like him. He deserved better than
he did. I'll tell you what, though. What about the coach, then? Is he going to take some blame, or will they blame Losey? Will they blame Carl Addison? Is it quite clearly, Steve Ferris, you have made absolute huge mistakes. It's on your shoulders. You've got to go.
I'm in that camp. You know, you ask the question, why did James Lowe's leave the club? You know, why did he go?
He
didn't get sacked, did he?
He quit
the club.
Yeah.
Why would he walk out on a job if he felt it was under his control? I don't know if you can confirm this. I mean, Adam O'Brien hasn't played. He wasn't even in the squad today. Adam O'Brien, whenever I've seen the Bradford Bulls, best player. You might be able to confirm that for us, Rich, but that's what I've been told. Adam O'Brien didn't play today. You bring a new coach in. You know, this is the worry I have at Huddersfield. They brought a new coach in so late in the season. Can they turn it around? It's not as easy as it looks. And Rowan Smith, you know, I said it when I first saw him, you know, and I said it on this station, I'm not sure He realises the grasp of the enormity of the situation that he finds himself in. I asked him on Thursday about the slope at Featherstone, didn't know anything about it. These are things, basic, basic rugby league things that the club have got wrong. And not having a scrum half, you know, not having a scrum half for nearly 2 years, and they get one in with 2 weeks left in the season.
Yeah, O'Brien wasn't in the squad.
He wasn't. There you go. Now, fair enough, if he's injured, I'll retract that. But my understanding is he wasn't injured. He has been left out.
I'll tell you one thing. Adam O'Brien wasn't injured because after last week's game, he came on in the second half, and then after the final whistle, he was doing the lapping, because I think it's a trend nowadays. If you don't play the full 80 minutes, then you've got to do some extras, and he was doing it after the game last week. So he certainly... It certainly wasn't injured, but huge problems for the Bulls. But one thing for sure, Batley and Featherstone, if you want a few beers around the Manias tonight, and Scully Fads, if anybody's shouting, I'll come and join you.
The bar's open at Mount Pleasant. The bar's open at Mount Pleasant. That's the big news of the day.
Here's a thought. Why don't you shout the beers?
Bit harsh, please. Let's move on.
I'm sure we'll talk more about Bradford tomorrow night between 6 and 8. You both... Oh, go on.
No, I just want to say, you know how naff my betting skills are. I did say...
Well, you got half it, right?
I did say before a ball was kicked this season, Bradford won't make the four.
Well, yes.
What odds would that have been?
Well, it would have been big, because they were the second favourites of the championship, weren't they?
They were. Sad times.
You've both been at that game today. You said in commentary, Scotty, that it was, 65 minutes in, Wakefield were on top, but the final 15 minutes, Castlewood just blew them away.
Yeah, it was. It was just that little bit more quality. But two big calls changed on the game, Rich, to be honest with you. And Joe Cobby got it totally wrong when...
He had a Joe Cocker.
Yeah, exactly. Here, when he said Craig Hall, you know, knock the ball on when he didn't, Paddy Flynn got there. It should have been a dropout under the Castleford's ticks, and good field position still for Wakefield, but he got it wrong. Within five player of balls, Castleford went the distance, a six-pointer, and then Liam Finn, 3 minutes later, he didn't find a touch finder. He went for the big one, he missed it. Another five player of balls later, Castleford are under the black dot again, 12-point turnaround, and that's what did it, Rich. It's as simple as that. The scoreline does not reflect the game as it was. I say, you'd say Wakefield for 65, 68 minutes were the better team, but Cass in the end, the quality, quick player of balls. Luke Gale came back into his own. 46-20, does it reflect the game? No, it doesn't. But at the end of the day, any team in Super League, if you give them opportunities, they could quite easily score 2-3, maybe 4 quick tries. But it was two big things for Wakefield that changed this game this afternoon.
Mark, your thoughts?
Completely agree. The decision against Craig Hall was...
What was you thinking, Joe Cobb?
Flabbergast. Well, I asked you the question, right? Here is the question of the day. The guy who's the in-goal touch judge, or whatever he's called, he stood 5 yards away from it. How can he get... That's the only thing he had to do today. And he got it wrong. So he's 100% wrong in his performance today. Shocker. I just thought injuries maybe crept up on... they lost a couple of players. The Bill Tupo one, obviously a worry. He could hardly walk when he left the field. Hamstring problem for him. You can't see him playing next week. I just thought they ran out of steam, and I thought Luke Gale in the last half an hour was outstanding. I don't know what you made this afternoon, Scully, of Junior Moores. He was phenomenal, wasn't he? He was phenomenal.
He was outstanding. When he decided to get involved a little bit, but I mentioned it commenting for the first 10 or 15 minutes, what I couldn't understand, Matt, or Cass, well, you know, Springer being a ball handler. I said, he's not a ball handler. He's quite simply, he runs hard and straight and direct. And when he decided to do that, when Darryl Power got in and said, listen, stop being yourself a Lee Crookshaw or Kevin Ward, go hard and straight, we're playing with a quick play of the balls, I think that was a big difference for Cass.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Like Millington tried hard, made a couple of mistakes today, but battled really, really hard. And decent performance from Cass. He'll take a lot of heart out of that. You know, the fixture's obviously going to be announced and confirmed this week. There won't be many wanting to go to Castleford in the Super 8.
Oh, no, they won't. And I say again, I like him. And, you know, Young Holmes, you know, he took his try brilliantly well, didn't he? And I say he's got that bit of vision and awareness in his game. He's got that speed. And when he got the opportunity, he went round Jowett as though he wasn't there. And yeah, I was delighted for Young Tom Holmes to finish the game very well. But the big thing now, Rich, is quite simple. That game's done, dusted here at Wakefield. It's simply now 80 minutes away from Wembley come next Saturday.
No, you don't have to tell me that, Gary. You were both yesterday at Warrington to see Huddersfield, and Rick Stone's second game in charge. They got close there. What do we make of the new Huddersfield Giants?
Yeah, they got close, but when you looked at the team sheet, I reckon it was the best team that Huddersfield have put out this year, and at times they looked the better side. They did. Warrington started out like an house on fire again, and you fought 10-0 up and say, well, they look to be cruising, but the Giants hung in there, got themselves back into the game. It just a little bit, a few silly mistakes and getting a bit of indiscipline, and you know, Danny Brough at times went missing, and you know, he has a huge influence on Jamie Ellis, and I don't care less what anybody says. When Danny Brough plays in that team, we don't see anything near like when we saw Jamie Ellis dictate the game when they played Hull a few weeks ago. And the big question for Rick Stone is, he doesn't know his best side at this moment in time. He's still working his team out. He's only been here now, 2 weeks? He's still working his best team out there. But yeah, good for mine, good positive sign for Huddersfield, and I don't think they'll be playing a £1 million game, Rich. Mark's got a different view on that. He thinks they could struggle, to be honest with you.
I think they will struggle. I just think that the worry I have for the Huddersfield Giants is they don't know how to win tight games. They do not know. I know they beat Salford by a point, but you look at the emotion that had led into that week and everything that happened away from the sport, if you like, and the tragedy that week, and I think that fuelled Huddersfield that game. But you look, they lost narrowly at Hull Kingston Rovers. They beat Salford narrowly. Are they going to beat Leeds, who are in form at the moment? You'd have to say probably not. They, for me, are a team, and you just said it yourself. You know, Rick Stone doesn't know his best side. Now, he hasn't got time to hit the ground running. I don't know what the fixtures are going to be in that Super 8 series, in the qualifying 8 series. They haven't got time to be messing about trying to find out who's going to play where. They go to Leeds opening day, for instance, or they've got to go to Lee, or they've got to go to Old Cow, wherever they're going to play. It's not going to be easy, mate. It's not going to be easy. I am genuinely worried for
it. No, it won't be easy, but I don't think they picked up any injuries, so they've got this week off there now, as he mentioned.
Gary, they've had their full team pretty much playing for the last 10 weeks, mate. Their results haven't got.
Well, you might be seeing something a little bit different to me, but you know, he's got, as he keeps saying now, he needs to learn about his players from a psychological point of view as well, and just a little bit more toughness in defence. But what I saw yesterday, certainly against a decent Warrington side, I've seen enough that convinces me I don't think they'll be in the £1 million game.
Elsewhere this weekend, Leeds, maybe Hull KR, seemed a bit of a scrappy game, that one, and Wigan missed out the chance to close the gap with Hull, and Hull now top of the table.
Wigan were awful, absolutely. Anyone watched that game? I was excited to be there. I thought, I'm really looking forward to this. I've witnessed some cracking games between Wigan and Saints in the past. What a damp squib. Absolutely nothing from Wigan. Probably one of their most inept performances. You know what, I would challenge that attacking wise when they lost 62-0 here, they wouldn't have been any worse than they were against Friday.
Yeah, they were pretty clueless at times. But let's take nothing away from St Helens, and we've said it now, Rich, for the last, 3-4 weeks, Kieran Cunningham, he's not been making any noises. And as people were saying yesterday, King Kieran is back now. He's, you know, the statue, it's been polished. He's got that shine back to it. And they're going about the business nice and quiet. And I say, you wouldn't say they were at the best creative point of view, but they got into that arm wrestle with Wigan, and if Wigan don't win the arm wrestle, they are clueless, and it's a big problem for Sean Wayne, not just for this semi-final coming up against Hull this weekend, but also too for the rest of the season. But take nothing away from St Helens, they wanted it a little bit more than what Wigan did, and rightly so, they deserve that victory.
And Hull squeaking past Salford, but that's all they had to do. A win's a win.
Good teams find a way to win, Rich, and that's what they did. You know, behind what, we were about 11 minutes left, there were 2 points behind, and they turned it around and got the win, and fair play to them for that. Huge weekend this weekend. Mm. I don't think we can underestimate it. Whatever will be for Wakefield. There's no pressure on them other than their own desire to win the match. That's the only pressure on them. Can they fulfil their own potential and turn up and play? Wakefield could turn up and play very, very well next week and still not win. Yeah. They could turn up and win. We don't know what's going to happen. But I think for Hull and Wigan, the outcome of Friday night will determine what happens for the rest of the season. And I think, confidence-wise, for the Wigan Warriors, if they can't beat Hull next weekend, I think that puts huge question marks over their suitability to win the grand final.
Yeah, well, the big question is for Wigan is a creativity, isn't it?
Well, you can argue it both sides in that one. Well, you often do. You don't like Mark Snead.
I didn't. No. Hold on, Mark Wilson. You're trying to cause a bit of controversy here, and I'm not controversial. I'm just honest.
Hold on.
Okay.
I've said,
and I repeat myself to you. I have not said Mark Snead is not a bad rugby league player, but he hasn't got any creativity with ball in hand. They need more than that kicking game. So let's put that doubt over that comment you just made there. And at times, yes, he's clueless. He is, without a doubt, but I just feel as though Wigan at this moment in time, with their combinations, what they've got, Sam Tompkins, he doesn't look fit for mine. He seems to be limping about, and he seems to have lost a yard or two of pace. Or Lachlan is out of sorts. George Williams at times is far too indecisive. Matty Smith is far too indecisive. So the big thing for Wigan is quite simple. If they don't get anywhere from a creative point of view, good field position against Hull, then Hull will win on Friday night.
Well, we'll find out on Friday night on Radio Show. One last question before I let you go off and see if there's any chips left in the media room.
All gone, mate. They're all gone.
The £1 million game. Mm. Who's in it?
Lee, Hulkington Rovers for me.
Hulkington Rovers and Huddersfield.
Wow.
Tell you what, Mark Wilson. hold on. You just said
it's not
about
controversial
it,
these days.
This is what I'm just saying here. Last week he was so controversial it was untrue, and Stuart Fielding, you know, wanted to knock him out. Stuart Fielding wanted to get hold of him. Stuart Fielding couldn't wait to come into the studio. Mark, you know, do you really need to employ Gary Scobie? Because you're the controversial one now, son. You're the one who's causing all the arguments and debates.
I think
what's going on?
Is it
something what's been put in your coffee recently?
I don't know. You made it, so I don't know. hopefully it was performance-enhancing drugs, and we can move on from there. But, no, look, I said to you at the start of the year, I didn't think Bradford had met the four, was right there. And I think Lee, you know what? Last year, Lee, all talk, no action. Mm. This year, I'm not hearing Lee talking.
Well, exactly.
I'm not hearing it. I'm seeing it. Yeah. I'm watching what they're doing. I think they're getting promoted.
I said it 3 weeks ago. They've ticked the box 3 weeks ago there, and they're going about the business nice and quietly, exactly the way Sid Tellens are doing. So, but again, it's the expectation, can they handle that bit of extra pressure? They're certainly going about it quietly. They're certainly going about it in the right way. But I just feel as though that maybe Huddersfield and Salford a little bit, and Leeds will be too strong for them. For mine, it's Lee and Hulkington Rovers.
I think we've got this Super 8 launch to go to on Wednesday morning, Mark. Is anyone going to be speaking to you now after this?
People don't like the truth. That's not my problem,
I'm going
it?
To speak to Sean Wayne. He'll be all right.
Yeah, that could be interesting. I think we'll take the camera for that one, purely for legal reasons.
Yeah, hey Richard, well, from now on, I'm going on the dials, and Mark Wilson's going to be sat in my place, and let him get all the stick on Twitter. Let him get all the stick from all the people there. He's the new controversial one for Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, hey, just before we go, I've been sent a text by a friend who's a big Bradford Bulls fan who asked a question regarding Dr. Marwan Kukash sniffing around the Bradford Bulls.
You're kidding.
I cannot believe people want that to happen. I cannot believe it.
Why would they want him anywhere near?
Desperate people do desperate things.
Why would they want him anywhere near the M606? That's what goes into Bradford. Why would they want him near the place? Do they not know what he's done at Salford? Can they not just see? Do they not know what common sense is all about? Why do they want Kukash anywhere near the club? Ridiculous. Absolute ridiculous. And if you're listening, Marwan, if you want to invite me to another race day meeting, me and Mark Wilson were available any Wednesday.
Mark Wilson, Gary Schofield, make your friends as ever. Back tomorrow at 6 o'clock, it'll be busy.
Rich, I'm very much looking forward to tomorrow night. Very much looking forward to
it. I think there might be some big Bradford developments before tomorrow, so stand by your beds on that one. Hopefully, common sense prevails, but the facts are they've not made the four. The shortfall for next year is going to be phenomenal, and it looks like they're going to need you all.
Also, as well, the big thing about Bradford now is quite simply, Mark Wilson, the Bradford Bulls are no longer a bigger club. Simple as that. They are no longer a big club.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow at 6.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Mark Wilson and Gary Schofield there at Wakefield.